to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
The title of the study tonight is called Keep Growing. Keep Growing. How important is growth? Very. Okay, why?
The only alternative to dying.
The only alternative to dying. You know, if you're not growing, you're probably going the other way. You know, because there is very little that just kind of stays in the same place. It's going one direction or another. There's a lot of areas in which we'd like to, we can grow. In fact, there's some areas we probably prefer not to grow, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, things that have to do with health and weight and all that. But what areas, in general anyway, will we like to grow in? Spiritually, of course, that's the most important, be the focus tonight, Lynn.
Maturity.
How else would we like to grow?
Emotionally.
Lori? Relationships. Grow in relationships, okay? What did you say, Lynn? Emotionally?
Experience.
Oh, experience. Somebody else said emotionally. Okay, yeah. What? And knowledge and understanding, yeah. And health, strong. We like to grow stronger. Most of us are kind of on the other side of that, seeing it happen a lot. But, Lori? Patience. Grow in patience, but don't pray for it. We all know that. When you pray for patience, God's going to bring you stuff that's going to try it. Carlton? Discretion, yeah, wisdom, like we talked about in Proverbs. All right, so especially spiritually, but all those other things. In life, you're either moving forward or drifting backward. There's not really any standing still, at least not for very long. I don't know how many of you ever gone canoeing, okay, or kayaking, something like that. You know, if you do it on a pond, it's still, you just go, whatever. But if you're on a river or a stream, anything with a flow of water, it's always a lot more fun going downstream than up, you know. But if you ever have to go upstream, you have to paddle. You have to work at it, because if you don't, you're going to keep drifting backwards. And there's so many things in life that's like that. And our spiritual growth is like that. It's not optional. It's essential. And we've got to keep making progress forward, deliberate progress to grow spiritually, or we'll drift backwards. And so that's why this is so important for all of us, even those of us who maybe have known the Lord for decades. You know, it can be very easy, no matter where you are in your relationship with God, to get to the point where it's like, I'm doing pretty good, and we just want to kind of coast, but you can't coast, okay? I'm not saying that there aren't times that God gives us periods of rest where, you know, it seems like life is like that. You go through rough periods, and thank God he gives you times when it's not quite so rough, and we, you know, look forward to those. But yet, as far as growth is concerned, we've got to keep on growing, and we all have room to grow. You know, I've had the privilege of knowing the Lord a long time, getting a pretty good education, all that kind of stuff, but I know I've got a lot of room to grow in my life. All right. Without growth, we risk losing spiritual stability. We're going to look at that tonight. I like this quote from the Tyndale Commentary. It says, the Christian life is like riding a bicycle. Unless you keep moving, you fall off. All right. So we're just going to be looking at a couple of verses and what they might mean for us. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. This is the very end of this letter of Peter to struggling churches, churches that are struggling from persecution. They're struggling because false teachers have been infiltrating and leading people astray, or at least trying to. And before we get to verses 17 and 18, he's talking about how, thank God, this life is not just going to keep on keeping on, or this world is not just going to keep on keeping on as it is, with all the sin, sorrow, sickness, false teachers, all that kind of stuff. But eventually, God is going to put an end to it. The only reason he hasn't, this is that famous passage, is that he's being patient because there's more people he wants to see come to repentance, because he wants everybody to come to repentance, okay? And he's wrapping up the letter now saying, in light of all this, what should we do? And he says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, all the things I just told you, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So he gives a warning here in verse 17. Take care that you're not carried away. That's a great picture, like I told you about a river, you know, just carrying you. That you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. I put it this way, that this is a warning to be watchful, to be watchful. The believers were facing two big challenges if you read the whole letter. I mentioned it earlier. Opposition, persecution for their faith, and false teaching. Okay, lies that distorted God's truth and excused sin. So he says, take care that you're not carried away by error. What does that mean, take care? Or what do you think of when that comes to your mind? When you're supposed to take care, what does that mean to you? What does that suggest to you? Be active. What'd you say, Carlton?
Be mindful.
Be mindful. Whereas pay attention. Okay. Yeah. Anything else? Be intentional. Yes. What else? Be careful. I thought I heard the word careful. Yes. That's wonderful. Take care. Stay alert. Stay alert. Be on guard. All right. Be aware. Why is it important that we heed this warning? We have the enemy, as Peter says in another place. It's either first or second. I can't remember which one. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We got an enemy after us. So we got to pay attention. All right. The one that's obvious from what we'd already looked at is that there's false teachers out there. And, you know, it's not always obvious because a lot of false teaching, as Paul likes to tell Timothy, is telling people what they want to hear, the itching ears thing. You know, and if we're really desperate about a situation, sometimes it's easy to kind of give in to or believe false information if it's what we want to hear. We don't really want to hear the stuff that's difficult. Okay. Any other thoughts you can think of as to why it's so important that we heed this warning?
Because we can be deceived if we don't heed it properly and pay attention. It's a dangerous thing because you're not paying attention and reading a word and getting the
That's right. If we're not intentionally doing all these things you guys already said, it's easier to be deceived. And also, like we said earlier, if you're not deliberately going forward, you can drift backward, even if you don't want to. Even if you don't want to. So, you know, he's talking specifically here about false teaching, that not be carried away by error, portrayed or put forth by lawless people. How can we recognize false teaching or deception in our world today? Lisa? Compare it to God's word. That is significantly important. We compare it to God's word. What'd you say? Okay, so we need to lift up Jesus, all right? And that doesn't just mean be a great worshiper, okay? It means pursuing Jesus and a relationship with him and looking to him and what he says and for his glory, okay? Any other thoughts about how we can recognize false teaching and deception and avoid it? Lori? Yes, pay attention to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You may say, well, how do I know if it's the Holy Spirit or not? Well, here's the thing. Jesus says that we... I'm not trying to confuse or mix Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that the sheep know his voice, but that's also true, the voice of the Father and the voice of the Holy Spirit. As we grow more in maturity, we should be able to, I'm not saying perfectly or 100% of the time, or we don't wrestle with, pray over things, but learn more and more to hear the voice of our Father, of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said specifically that one of many things the Holy Spirit has come to do is to convict of sin. You know, to bring to mind truth, to reinforce and emphasize truth. And so paying attention to the Holy Spirit is very good too. So, you know, one of the saddest things, I've mentioned this before, one of the saddest things for me as a pastor, I'm sure it's true for you too, is when somebody who once walked really closely with God has drifted away from that. You know, it's just whether it's because they've gone through a hard time and they just gave up, because they got involved in sin, or they're being deceived, or whatever. Yeah, Felix.
My baby said, clear.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you want to go far from your own being led away to error.
Mm-hmm.
Grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
When would you realize that you are growing with the Lord?
Well, that's what we're talking about tonight. But you did use a good word there in your translation. It said, beware. You know, we see signs that say, beware. Beware of what? You know, beware of the dog, beware of the whatever. You're hiking, beware of bears. You know, this is a big beware. All right, so what's the solution? Well, there's a number of things, but in this passage in verse 18, Peter says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So growing is a very important part of the solution to not just maturity and all the other things we talked about, but to keep ourselves on the right path and keep going forward. So Peter says, grow. And the word that is used there is grow. I'm not saying it's got some special meaning, but the way it's used, it means grow and keep on growing. It's not like grow and then you're going to reach this point and you can stop. It's like grow and keep on growing, and you're going to need to keep on growing. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's my opinion. I always try to differentiate between opinion and what God's word says. I have a feeling we're going to keep on growing through eternity because God is eternal. I think we're always going to be learning new things about God and having new experiences with God. I don't think anybody's ever going to be bored in heaven, you know? And so that's just a little side note there. So, anyway, spiritual growth is a lifelong pursuit. So he says to grow in two areas, grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So let's talk about, first of all, that first one, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. So what is grace? How would you define or describe grace? Undeserved favor. Another word that's used is unmerited, which is the same meaning. Unmerited or undeserved or unearned favor. Okay? What kind of favor do we get?
I think God's redemptive action changes everything about us after we've born again.
Okay. God's redemptive action changing us after we've been born again is because of his grace and his mercy too. All right? His power, his kindness working in us through us. So here's the thing, it says grow. You know, we can talk about growing physically, we can talk about growing emotionally, we can talk about, you know, growing in maturity. What does it actually mean to grow in grace? How do you grow in grace? Or what comes to your mind when you think of growing in grace? Okay, recognizing it, discernment, recognizing God's grace. If we have discernment, we recognize God's grace more and more, what should that birth in us? What should that do in us?
Love.
Okay, it should make us more like Jesus. It should cause us to grow because we are contemplating God's grace toward us. You know, and so many instructions of God in the New Testament, particularly, is that we're supposed to do something just like God did it. We're supposed to love like God loved. We're supposed to forgive like God forgave. We're supposed to encourage. That one's maybe not specified, but all these things, the different fruits of the Spirit are characteristics we see in God. And the more that we see that in God, and because God has expressed that and demonstrated that to us by his grace and mercy, if we're growing in our understanding and discerning and seeing that, it should help us then become more like that, which is a process, part of the growth. Did you have any other comments, Felix? Can you feel it? Do you mean physically, emotionally, or how? Physically? I don't think it's something you feel physically, no. So, sometimes it's painful, okay. I think probably more so emotionally and that kind of thing, but yeah, yeah. Yes, Carlton. Mm-hmm.
Born again. Mm-hmm. Become new creation. So every aspect of growth. That's what I like when you said keep going. Because you're a baby now and you keep going. And birds don't stay on milk. The reason why I think Bible study is so important. Because a lot of believers think that automatically it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, growth is not, we're gonna get to that before we get all done. Growth is not automatic. There's things we need to do. And Paul talked about people who chose a lifestyle they didn't grow. He says, you guys are still babies. You should be more mature by now. He said that several times. Yes, in the back row, you had your hand up. It's okay. That's a good point. That is true. As we're growing in grace in the ways that it affects, especially our emotions, that can affect our body because our emotions affects our body. So I didn't think about it along those lines. So Felix, yes. You can feel it physically. There you go. There's your answer. All right. At least in those particular areas. Mervin.
I'm thinking of grace in terms of grace, or is it that divine ability God gives you to perform certain actions that only you are graced or empowered to perform? So when God anoints you and grace you for a certain task, He gives you the grace and the ability to perform the task that only you have a point for some purpose, because this purpose is working for you to perform or to do that which is promising to do.
Okay, so that's a very good aspect too. God has a plan for each of us and things for us to do or to fulfill, things He wants to do through us, and we need His grace to be able to do that. So as we seek to perform, to do what God's called us to do, we need His grace to do it, so it requires growing in grace for that to happen. Kingsley, you had your hand up a while ago.
Efforts, as you put the efforts in Christ, God's riches at Christ's expense, you're taking that expense that He has paid and you're growing the richness of God toward that. One of the things we said, I preached as a pastor when I was younger, and I still haven't written in my Bible, growing grace that you won't grow in history.
Oh, that's good. That one thing you said before, I heard way back years ago when I was a teenager, is grace is God's redemption at Christ's expense. It's a great acronym, but I hadn't heard that one. Grow in grace, you'll grow in disgrace. That's good. Yeah, that's good. Lori, you had your hand up.
So for me, when I think about it, it's more pursuing.
Growing
is
Yeah, that's a great aspect too. That growing in grace is not just experiencing and understanding and realizing and appreciating God's grace to us, but letting His grace flow through us and showing grace to others. Yeah. Now, I'll tell you a really fun way to experience more grace. or can be anyway. You know, Paul said in Romans, I don't have the scripture in front of me, that where sin abounds, then grace much more abounds. So if we go out and sin a bunch, right? I mean, isn't that? No. The only reason I even bring that up is because there are some people that live that way. You know, that wasn't Paul's point in saying that where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. It's just saying that no matter how badly we have sinned, God's grace can take care of it. In fact, in Romans, Paul says over and over again, and in that same place, he says, well, because God's grace abounds, should we just sin some more? And he's like, no. I think the old King James said, God forbid, or something like that. You know, no. You know, if we've really experienced God's grace, that should keep us from sinning more, you know, in response to his grace. But that's a very important point to be made because there, you know, there's all kinds of teaching out there that's false, and there's some that's partially false, and not, and you know, God's grace is phenomenal, but there's some that want to take it so far. It's like, well, it doesn't matter how you live. God loves you. Jesus died for you. He'll forgive anything. All those things are true. So live like you want. That part's not true. You know, that part's not true. So anyway, we don't grow in grace by sinning more, just to say that, okay? You know, just because somebody forgives you doesn't mean you should keep doing the same wrong thing. We wouldn't want people to do that for us, you know. So how do we grow in grace? We've mentioned several things. I think we appreciate God's salvation more deeply by depending on his strength to live a godly life. And as Lori said, to allow his grace to flow through us. In his first letter, 1 Peter 4:10, he's talking about how God gives us gifts, not presents, but abilities to be used for his kingdom. And he describes that as saying that the gifts that he's given us, as we use them, we are actually distributing God's grace to other people. He says, as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. So we grow in grace. The second thing is grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. How can knowledge about Jesus help us grow? How can it help us stand firm in our faith?
As I study the Word of God more and more, the Holy Ghost implies the Word of God into you and engraves the Word of God into you, making much more knowledgeable and also advises the concrete of scripture, line for line, as well as speaking for precept, very little and very little. As they search the scriptures, Jesus, and then the eternal life that will flow as a result of studying the Word of God, you become knowledgeable and discerning. So when a false teaching is taught, the Spirit picks up, and the Holy Ghost will say, "Grant your witness, okay, because you don't know the Word of God, the Holy Ghost will witness the Spirit. No, what you're doing there is not right. And he will always check you because of your knowledge of the Word of God. So study the scriptures, approve unto God."
Okay. So I'm not going to repeat all that for recording. But to summarize it, you mentioned several things. Knowledge of the truth helps us recognize error, right? And a lot of other stuff. No, you know, as we study God's word, now we're talking about growing in the knowledge of Jesus, but God's word is about Jesus primarily. You know, it helps us recognize falsehood. So we've got to do that. All right, so any other thoughts about how knowledge and learning about Jesus can help us stand firm in our faith? Lori, I'm going to go to Alan because he hasn't said a whole lot yet. Go ahead, Alan. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. It actually leads into something I was going to bring up in just a few minutes, but we'll go ahead and deal with it right now. And I'll get back to you, Lori. Okay. Is that there are people that can grow in knowledge, mental knowledge, and it doesn't really impact their life. Okay. And I like what you said there. You know, I've heard that illustration before, that there are two major bodies of water that are mentioned in the New Testament in the Holy Land in Israel. There's the Sea of Galilee and there's the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is named the Dead Sea because it's dead. But the Sea of Galilee is full of life. You know, fish and all that. It's because the Sea of Galilee has water coming into it and going out of it. The Dead Sea just has water coming into it. The only way it goes out is it's evaporated. Okay? And the same thing is true of a person's life, you know, and not just talking about knowledge and everything, Bible knowledge, but so many other things. As it comes in, you've got to give it out too. That's why we said the grace thing is, that's part of God's grace, and growing in grace is not only experiencing it, but passing it out, passing it along. But that gets to the definition of what does he mean by growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? What kind of knowledge? I haven't forgotten you, Lori. Okay, I'll come back to you. What kind of knowledge? Okay, be doers of the word, not hearers only. So the knowledge that we get, we have to do something about. So that's an important facet of it. Okay. But the other part is it's not just learning facts and truths about Jesus and God's word is supremely important, but it's actually knowing Jesus. Okay. Now, Laura, you had your hand up. With what you're going to say, is it still applicable? I'm sorry I diverted so much. Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's an important part about it. You know, there's actually different words that are used for knowledge in the Bible. And one of them has to do with gathering facts, knowledge, you know, whatever, truth. But the other one means to know by experience or to know by relationship. And both are used about our relationship with God, all right, and our relationship with Jesus. So we need to know more and more about Jesus, you know, knowing what the Bible teaches about him, because even if we, like, have a relationship with Jesus, or we think we have a relationship with Jesus, but we don't know that much about him, we can still be led into false truth. See, I got a relationship with Jesus, and he loves me, and he forgives me, so I can live however I want. You see what I'm saying? So we got to know the facts, but we also need to know Jesus. Lynn.
Hear that it would be a blender and to invent it. But in order to know the blender and to operate it, it comes with a manual.
Mm-hmm.
So that is going to the manual, to study the manual, to know how to use it. Once you get that knowledge from the manual, then you have no problem in using it successfully.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't get the information from the manual and understand it, then you can be in trouble and damage it before you do the first job with it. The Bible is our manual that gives us. But at the same time, it's difficult to learn without a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, the question that a young believer would have studying the Bible, they don't understand what they're reading. And we see that about the human.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's important, and that's why not just reading the Bible and see that we're reading the Bible. Go to church, fellowship with other believers, get information. Because there are other preachers, as you mentioned, or false prophets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're preaching from the Bible too.
Mm-hmm.
They're using the same Bible. So the interpretation for a young believer always want to know which is right and which is wrong. And that's the problem that we face in the churches today. That's why we have so many denominations and some just teaching false doctrine, but they are holding on the same Bible.
That's right. It's a very important point. We're going to get to that even more a little bit later on, that there's a part to play. We need each other for this to happen, for growth to happen. You know, the whole thing about, well, I don't really need to go to church to be a Christian. There's some truth. I mean, our being a Christian is our relationship with Jesus. But to grow and to fulfill God's will and God's purpose, we've got to be together with other believers. All right. So both of these are important. Knowledge about Jesus, but also knowledge of Jesus as far as personal relationship. It's been a little while now, so I can't remember who said it, but it's just like any other relationship. You know, you can know a lot about somebody, but you really want to know them. You've got to have that relationship. You've got to not just know the facts, but you've got to be in communication. You know, you can know a whole lot about somebody that's dead. You know, talk about history or whatever, but do you really know them? It's like, well, nope. Okay. All right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can feel his presence. If you get a connection with someone, that intimate relationship is a part of what time. And I spoke about intimate.
relationship. Mm-hmm. You can see this person is like a husband and wife in bed. They work together, look at the TV. They're intimate. And you can feel the presence of Jesus. And that's when you connection comes, that's when you're growing and know him personally.
Mm-hmm.
It's a personal relationship. It says you grow better and better. Day by day, sweeter and sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the relationship. That's the day you know him. I know him for myself. That's what you can speak about it. No matter what you're doing, you can feel his presence. Mm-hmm. And that's grace. Mm-hmm. It's so sweet.
Okay. I didn't want to interrupt you. So that's a very, very good point. But I want to add to it also that we can sense and know God's presence. And we should. But I also want to give this little caveat, okay? Just because you don't feel something at a particular time or don't sense something at a particular time does not necessarily mean that you're not in right relationship with God or that you don't have a relationship. Because sometimes you go through those times, just like a human relationship. Sometimes you feel stronger than others. Okay? And that kind of thing. And sometimes we just really sense God's presence. Maybe you're in a place where you kind of sense God's presence in that place. You sense it within you. But then there's times, you know, you don't sense something emotionally or physically, Felix, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean you're not right with God. I mean, we've always got to be aware of, okay, am I pleasing God? Whatever. But that is a very, very important point, Anthony. Yeah, Lori. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a pure, so I'm looking at the double baby. I sit there and I think about what God is doing. He wants.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to know. He wants to know us. And it's astounding. It's still astounding.
Yeah, that is very astounding. We've talked about that before. God doesn't need us. Jesus doesn't need us. But he wants us. That's why he created us. That's why he died to save us, because of love. So growth doesn't just happen by accident. We talked about this. How do we grow? It takes intention, consistent effort. You know, if you joined a gym but only went twice a month and you didn't change your eating habits or your exercise habits, you're not going to grow stronger, right? And spiritual growth is the same way. And by the way, it takes more than just going to the gym to get stronger. You actually have to work out. It takes more than just going to church. Okay, although that's a very important part of it. All right, so how can we grow spiritually? I've got four things here. There's probably more, but let's go ahead and deal with the ones that have been dealt with already. The first one is God's Word. Need to spend time in God's Word. On your own, with other people, you got to learn to listen to Him. Read it, study it, and has already been emphasized, do it. Okay, I mean, James says, be a doer, not just a hearer of the word. When Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount, he ended up with the whole story of, you know, you got these two guys that build these houses, and the storm comes down, one falls down, one doesn't. Why? Because the one that falls down has been built on sand, and the one that doesn't is the one that's been built on a rock. And the difference is not that they heard the truth, because they both heard the truth. It's just the one that was built on the rock is someone who actually lived it out. The person who heard it but didn't live it out, it's a house on the sand. So it's not just the going to the church or reading your Bible, it's putting it into practice. So God's Word is very, very important as a part of our spiritual growth. The one Lynn mentioned a little while ago is fellowship. He didn't use that word, but being together with others. All right? And that growing relationship, it is better done together. We need each other. We need each other. And not just because one person may know more than the other, but we all have different experiences, we all have different understandings, and all that kind of stuff as we're able to share with one another and look at God's Word together. So being around people who love God and challenge us to grow is significantly important. You know, if we were on a desert island and we had our Bible and Jesus, we'd be okay because God would give us what we need. But that's not the way he wants Christians to grow. He doesn't want us to be, quote, on a desert island by ourselves. We're meant to be together. That's right. Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, men, women, Believers sharpen one another. And that's why the Bible is full of so many one another's. You know? Not just to help tell us what our character should be like, or, you know, but how we interact, how we work things out. Like Lynn talked about last week, you know, how we talk to one another is so significant. How we communicate, you know, and our attitudes are all wrapped up in that. But loving one another, forgiving one another, encouraging one another, challenging one another, sometimes correcting one another in love, you know, all of those things. Yes, Carlton. Yes, minister or serve one another. Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's the fourth one I have. I'm taking them out of order. So the first one is God's word. Let me just say the second one is prayer. Okay, we need to pray. That's how we spend that time with God. We talk to God. God's word, we listen to him. We pray, we talk to him. Okay? And that growing relationship requires communication. We've got to both talk and listen. By the way, that's good marriage advice too, friendship advice. And we talk about fellowship. But the fourth one is ministry or serving others. You know, growth isn't just about receiving, it's about giving. And I've seen this over and over, and maybe you've seen it too, and you maybe even seen it in your own life, that you will grow more and faster and stronger and more mature the more you use what you have to minister to and serve others. You know, I've seen that happen so much. Somebody that gets involved in ministry, whatever it is that God calls them to do, and their spiritual growth just explodes, you know. And there's just something about getting involved in serving that helps us grow faster. Yes, say this. What? Okay, let me just give you all four of them. God's word, prayer, fellowship. And the last one I have is ministry, serving others. When we use our gifts to help others, our faith deepens and it strengthens. Because it has to, because we can't do it on our own. You know? Yeah, Lynn.
There seems to be very answered here. No, God tells us, I think in the same book of Peter, that God has given us all things.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge, love, virtue, patience. And he has given us all things that is pertaining to this life as well. Now, if God has given it to us, then why aren't a lot of believers or some believers in the body of Christ in the verse of Matthew?
That's the whole point. They're not using it. Yeah. God will give us everything we need. But if we choose not to put it into practice, we choose not to take advantage of it. You know, somebody could put $10,000 in my bank account, and I'll give you the number if you want. But if I don't spend it... If I don't spend it, it's just sitting there, you know. God makes it all available to us, but we gotta use it. You're right.
And that is some of the weirdness as believers. We need to know when some folks would say, I can't do this, I don't want to do this, I make all the excuses in it.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter answered the question. He said, if God has given this and we're not using it, we are blind,
mm-hmm.
lacking. And lazy to another point, is it not utilizing our gifts?
Mm-hmm.
Because our gifts are supposed to make way for us. So if we're not using what God given us, as you just mentioned, then something is wrong with the individual. There's nothing wrong with God.
That's right. In fact, that made me think of a sermon I preached one time. I called it Wicked, Lazy, and Worthless. Okay? And it goes to the parable Jesus told in Matthew 25 about the master that gave talents to each one of the servants. You know, he gave 10 to one, 5 to another, 1 to another, and he went away, and the one with 10 invested and got 10 more, 5 invested and got 5 more, the one with 1 went and buried it. You know, and he came back, and basically the master said, you're wicked, use the word wicked, you're lazy, and you're worthless, okay? Because you didn't do what you're supposed to do, just because he didn't do anything. So we got to use what God gives us, and that's one of the things that helps us grow, okay? So, something to think about. It's interesting that if you look at these things, sometimes one or more of them seem easier to do than others. And sometimes it changes. You know what I'm saying? My wife and I have had this conversation many times. You know, sometimes you go through a period of time in your life, maybe when sitting down and reading God's word, it's just so easy, just enjoying it, but man, you really struggle to pray. And then other times it's just the opposite, like, oh, I can just pray. I feel like I'm praying the house down. I just feel like I connected. But man, sitting down and studying God's word. And so the thing we've got to be very careful is that we don't just emphasize or focus on the things that are easy, but to do what we need to do and to be balanced. You think of a balanced diet, you know? You might would prefer to eat this type of food or that type of, and avoid the vegetables or the fruits or whatever, you know, but to do a balanced diet, to be healthy, to grow, okay? So anyway, so that's a good question to think about, is what are the different aspects that we can participate in that help us grow that we struggle the most with? We may need to give them a little bit more attention, okay? Something else to think about is, we've studied this tonight, there's a reason we did. Not just because I chose it, you know, God had you here. So how does this apply to my life? What can I do? What do I need to do? What practical step can I take to strengthen my spiritual growth? Okay? Because growth, again, is a choice. You don't grow much by accident, but you grow by commitment. So, you know, we need to ask ourselves, is growth a priority for me? And if so, what am I doing? I want to deal with two objections really quickly before we wrap this all up. Sometimes people say, well, I don't have much potential. I don't really have much potential. But the thing is everybody has a lot of potential for doing a significant work for God's kingdom. And when I say a significant work, I don't mean a work that everybody's going to recognize. Everybody's going to say, oh, that's wonderful. Oh, that's a big thing. You know, everything we do for God, especially as it lines up with what God has for us to do, is significant. Okay, I think of the potential in a seed. It's so tiny. Okay, we're talking about growing. You plant that thing, you know, oak trees. We're known for oaks around here, right? Oaks and pines. But oak tree, what do they grow from? A little acorn. But you plant that thing, and over time, and by the way, another thing to point out here is that it takes time, right? You don't plant an acorn one day and you got a 30-foot oak tree next week. And that goes back to what Laura said. We got to show grace to people. To each other, because we're all still growing, all right? It takes time, but the potential, that little acorn becomes this oak tree that's so strong, all right? Did you have your hand up, Kingsley?
Yeah, it looked like you were there with that seed. If you have a fruit, an orange, mm-hmm. you can count the amount of seeds in that orange. When you plant that seed, you don't know how many oranges are in that seed.
That's right. I was just getting ready to say that's a great illustration. You can count the number of seeds in an orange or an apple, but you can't count how many oranges or apples are in that seed because you don't know what it's going to produce. So if you feel that way, I really don't have that much potential to do anything or to grow that way. You don't know. Just let God do what he wants to do. And then the other thing I want to deal with, and then we've got to close in prayer because it's that time. Sometimes you say, well, I've already made such a mess of things. How can I ever become anything in Jesus? How can I really grow? It's never too late. Never too late. There's always forgiveness, and you can always grow. Okay? I think, particularly, you guys know what a bottle brush plant is, right? We have a lot of them around here. Do you know what a bottle brush plant is? It's like a bush, and a certain time of the year, it gets these red things that look like a bottle brush on them. Okay? Well, anyway, we've got one at home. And it was there when we had our house built and everything. I really liked it, so I decided to try to grow some more. And so I did. I took a little cutting, did a number of times, and planted it. And I got this one that did really, really well. And then one winter, and it got about this tall. And then one winter, it got really cold, and I thought it killed the thing, okay? And anyway, long story short, I was going to get rid of it and throw it away. But my wife says, it's got a little bit of green left on it. Why don't you plant it on the other side of the house? See how it does. I said, okay, if you go by my house now, that bottle brush plant, which is usually a bush, is taller than my house, okay? But yet, I was ready to throw it away because it was mostly dead, all right? There's always hope. There's always hope. All right. Okay, so let's just pray. As a result of tonight, let's commit to grow, continue to grow, okay? And pray, God, help me to grow in your grace and knowledge every day. Father, thank you for the time that we've had to look at this passage tonight and to talk about something that we're all involved in to one degree or another, and we all need help with, and none of us get it perfect or have it perfect yet, but yet it's so easy to just kind of want to coast. So, Father, I just pray that you would use this to challenge us and to encourage us to say, what can I do? How can I live? What can I be involved in your kingdom and in my relationship with you to continue to grow and to grow every day until you take me to be with you? And Father, we thank you and we praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marianoaksag.org.